We want you to know that we want our love to lift you. And we know that the Lord Jesus and His love will lift you should you just listen and obey His most precious words. This morning, or last evening, I had talked to a brother that in many ways needed mercy. And I'd like to talk to you this morning about love and how important it is, and how important it is for us to have the kind of love that the Apostle Peter wrote about to us in our text this morning. And you might want to turn to that, 1 Peter chapter 1. And look at verses 22 and 23 with me again. Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." You know, mercy is such a powerful thing. And really what brings this lesson on is that there are often some who don't understand love. They don't understand the love of the saints and how we're to love one another and care for one another. And as a result, sometimes unknowingly or unwittingly, they tend to have an unloving attitude and they hurt the body of Christ. Anytime any small part of the body is hurting, it hurts the whole body. And so this morning I'd like to help to bring mercy and help to bring understanding on this very important love subject of sincere love. You know, the object of this lesson is towards the saints who have sincere love. It's not a rebuke in any sense of the word, but it's more of a confirmation that what we believe and the things that we practice and do for the name of the Lord are the right things, the righteous things. And I want every saint here who abides in the love of Christ to be uplifted and encouraged with understanding of the opposites of that faith. You know, over the years, I've seen Christianity experience many eccentricities or irregularities. And by that, I mean that I've seen things that ought not be so in the church. Christians debating over things that are clearly defined in the Bible, things such as marriage, divorce, and remarriage, to the point where they argue and they divide over these issues. I actually heard two men in one congregation arguing about whether or not we should obey our elders. Listen, it's not that hard. Yes. One man said no. He said that you don't have to obey any man. You only have to obey God, who said obey your elders. And so sometimes these things, these irregularities, they can plague the church in terrible ways. But perhaps none has been so uniquely irregular as those who use silence as an emotional distancing. Those who use silence in a way that would cause them to have an escape, not only from the world, but to have an escape, if you will, from the fellowship with the brethren. That they come in, and sometimes you'll see people come in the door, sit down, and run right back out the door and never say hello to anybody. And listen, they become spiritual hermits. And it hurts the body. It hurts every saint who loves them and can't seem to reach out far enough to get them. Paul, part of one of our services in Christ is administering to the needs of one another, especially to our own brethren. Not only to Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 that our service is to do good to all, and he said especially to those of the household of God. And this is what truly makes or breaks a spiritual relationship of members in a local congregation. And as we think about this, I'd like to talk to you about the sincere love of the brethren. And there are many reasons in the world to hate. that the world will hate you, rather. There's many reasons why the world will hate you. You know, Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it, what, hated me first. It hated me before it hated you. And so there's times when the world itself might hate you because of the love that you carry for Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil falsely against you, falsely for my name's sake. He says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Yes, there are times when the world will hate you. But you know, when we don't care for the physical needs or the spiritual needs of one another, we cause pain to the body. We hurt one another. And listen, I've been stabbed in the back with a pencil. And I know what that brought me to my knees. I still have a lead dot in the back of my spine. And that was very painful. I've cut off my finger in a table saw. And that was very painful. And I've broken my toe. And that hurt. I don't know which one hurt worse. But I'll tell you that none of those physical pains anywhere near as bad as when a friend turns a cold back against you, especially a brother in Christ. That hurts. It hurts more than any physical pain that we could ever endure. And nothing on this earth will hurt as much. Nothing. Listen. It's not normal for any brother, anyone who's called a brother, to not love and not to reciprocate love in kind, to give us cold shoulder. And so it's such an important lesson. We look at, well, what we want to look at today is the Lord's commands for dealing with one another and having a, when we have a problem with one another, how do we deal with that? And so let's look here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. And what I really want to focus on is verse 22 here. And 22 says, but I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Rakah, shall be in danger of counsel. And that Rakah, it simply means calling somebody senseless or empty-headed. And he says, if you say that, you're in danger of counsel. But whoever says you fool shall be in danger of hell fire. And I want to focus on the idea that he says of being angry without a cause. If you're not happy with something, you need to make sure that you have justified cause and you need to make that known. It has to be made known. As Jesus tells us in verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, you reconcile to your brother and then come and offer your gift. You cannot worship God in spirit and truth anywhere at any time if you have something against someone else and you don't try to make that right. You can't do it. I know a very well-known preacher, a radio evangelist in the body of Christ, who he had a problem in the congregation that he was preaching at, and he ended up rebuking elders unjustifiably. And I want you to know that less than a year later, he came back and repented of that sin. He came to those elders, he made that right, because he couldn't preach, he couldn't literally worship had he not done so. And that's the mindset that we need to have. You see, we have to have that mind of Christ. You can't make me mad. And I'm not saying Christ never was angry. He certainly was when he overturned the money changers' tables and cast people out of the temple and rebuked them for making it a house of merchandise. Listen, he got angry. But it's a different kind of word for anger. But here's the illustration. And I want you to know that I personally agonize over questions when somebody has a cold shoulder to me. You know, what did I say? Did I hurt them? What did I do to them? What was it that brings this upon me? What did I do? And oftentimes the truth is you have done nothing. It's just that attribute or that character trait in that individual that makes them so cold. And listen, You got to have that mindset that it wasn't you at all, and realize that we need to be a people who can't be made mad. Listen, watch this. This is me, and this over here, and you notice what we have here. We have pressure, we have stress, we have trials, and we have, I can't see it, burdens. My screen's a lot smaller than yours. We have all this. Everybody has that. All the time from the outside, these pressures coming in. And when you have a person like that, there's a certain way to deal with it. But, again, we have me. And this time, the burdens and the pressures and the stress and all of these things are on the inside. And look what happens. They're constantly coming down upon us from the world and from others. And Lord, pray that it's not from a brother or a sister. And when we think about this, all of these pressures affect us. But the difference between these two diagrams is one of them has pressures from the outside and the other one's the pressures are on the inside. And I ask you a question, of these two diagrams, which one is a person that gets angry quickly? And I would tell you that it's the person here who has the inside problems. Problems that they haven't dealt with and resolved and in a way cast upon the Lord. And as a result, they constantly say, you know, you make me mad and what you did I didn't like and what you said it hurt me. And they're very vulnerable to all these pressures because they have a problem inside. But the people who are of Christ, they cast all their cares upon Him because He cares for them. And what happens is He puts a shield around them. And as a result, yes, we still have all the same pressures, but we don't act in the same way. We don't respond in like kindness. We reciprocate evil with good. Right? And so we need to be that person who's cast all their cares upon the Lord. In 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He is your bulwark. He's your shield. And Christ will protect you spiritually if you let all the problems and burdens of life be on His shoulders. Remember, it was Jesus who said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. That's what He said. You will have rest for your souls. And we need to, whenever these burdens from outside come in, we need to cast them on His shoulders. Let Him carry the load. Don't be downtrodden by these things. Listen, people who tend to get upset and angry easily, they tend to blame everybody else for their pain. Well, what's the problem, brother? I don't want to talk about it. What's the problem, brother? You guys, listen. That's not a saintly answer. You know, either a person does not have a relationship with the Lord, and therefore all the troubles and pressures of the world are coming from within, or they are not calling on the power of the Lord to help them in their times of need. In either case, unless you admit that you have a problem, then you'll always be hurt. You'll always be hurt inside. You'll always be vulnerable to anything that anybody says on the outside. And you'll internalize everything. And if you're not in Christ, then we need to admit that. If we are in Christ, then we need to live and act accordingly. We need to love according to inspiration. And remember what Psalm 18 and 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my stronghold. If you remember, we've been studying the word stronghold and what it means to have a stronghold. When people of the world have a stronghold, they have all these walls up around them keeping Christ from coming into their life. And you need to tear those down. But when you have Christ as your stronghold, you need to keep building it up. And then the world can't affect you. It can't hurt you. It can't, quote, make you say, you made me mad. That's what the scripture says. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. It is so hard not to let what others say and do hurt you. But always remember that the Lord is your stronghold. He's your shield. He's your protector, your horn of plenty. He's your strength. And He'll carry you through. Now, as we think about this, we want to make sure we don't play the blame game. Peter said, in sincere, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love. You know, we break that down. We've made ourselves clean by obeying the truth through the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in sincere love. And he goes on to say, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Listen, this is not it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command from the Spirit of God. And the truth is, if we don't love one another fervently with a pure heart, then it's sin. And we know that sin separates us from God. And so this is why it's a commandment. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants all men to come to faith and repentance in Christ. Solid spiritual doctrine that when followed will bring fruits. You think about Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 verse 23, where the Apostle Paul said, these are the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, against there is no law. Against such there is no... Those are the fruits of the Spirit. When we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have the fruits of the Spirit, those blessings from the Lord. And those things guide and direct us. And they help us along that path. God didn't want us to be a closet people. Yes, when you pray, He says you can go into the closet. He'll hear your prayer and He'll respond to your prayer that was in secret openly. But He wasn't saying stay in the closet. He wasn't telling you to be a hermit or to be somebody that doesn't associate or love and embrace one another. He doesn't want us to live a life of a monastery or an abbey, which is a community of monks. No, He said you are the light of the world. And He tells us that a city is set on a hill, it can't be hid. Listen. You don't take a lamp and you hide it under a basket you put it up on the table where everybody can see your love. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what we need to do. We need the people to see our love. And listen, nothing encourages, lifts up, or empowers the brethren more than the power of brotherly love. We just sang a song. It's called Love Lifted Me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Earlier we sang a song. The song selections today were very appropriate to our lesson. God is love. Listen, let every soul from sin awake, He says. His blood has washed our sins away. His Spirit turned our night to day. And now we can rejoice to say that God is love. His Spirit turned our night to day. That means that He took us out of the darkness and brought us into the light. And when we do that, that means we walk in the light as we're commanded, and we love one another with a sincere love of the brethren. And if you're not doing that, you're not walking in the light, right? He tells us in this song, He's our help. He says, He is our sun and our shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all the way. Why? Because our God is love. We are the children of the God of love. And so we need to respond in like kind. Nothing can empower us and build us up more than that brotherly love. Nothing causes so much pain to the body, though. Nothing tears down, nothing deflates, and nothing destroys our zeal than indifference. Indifference is a noun. You know what that means? It's a person, place, or thing. That means it's something tangible, something that can really have an effect on you. And indifference is defined as a lack of interest, concern, some synonyms, lack of concern, unconcerned, disinterested, detached, lack of enthusiasm, apathy, nonchalance, insouciance is the word, boredom, unresponsiveness. These are words that define somebody who has an indifferent spirit. But in John chapter 15, verse 12, what did Jesus say? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's not indifferent. You know, that's not indifference. That's a closeness and a caring for one another. That's what Jesus did. You know, Peter said, love of the brethren, love one another, 1 Peter 1 and 22 that we've read. Love of the brethren. Love one another. You know, there's two different loves there. If you want to think about this as you look at that text in your Bibles, 1 Peter 1 and 22, it's very important to notice that there's two times the word love is used, but they're two different words. The first word is the word Philadelphia, which really is a very tenderly love for the brethren. Thayer says that it's a friend, a dearly beloved person, a brother, or a member of the same religion. And it tells us that it is a love for the brothers and or sisters. The second love there is the word agape or agapo. And it's a Greek word that it means embracing God's will. Embracing God, choosing His choices and obeying them through His power. With the believer, what that means is to love means to actively be doing what the Lord prefers with Him, by His power, by His direction. That's the two different words, Philadelphia and agape. And so we have this first love that says that we love one another like a brother, a sister, a dear, tender love. And the second word is the word that means that we love like God loves. He loved us while we were still sinners. We should love one another. He came down from glory and suffered the cross because He loved us so much. We need to look up to that and we need to live up to that and love one another. And not just one another, as Paul said in Galatians, all men, but especially those of the household of God. Listen, important note for these two words, as I just described, I guess I got ahead of myself, but you can see it there, that philos is a friend, aldephos is the other half of that word, which means brother, so we get Philadelphia. And then agape. And that's what this is. Think about that. Every time you read that verse, it's two different words. I want to talk to you a little quickly about the enemies of brotherly love. Selfishness. You know, in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness in mind, let each esteem others better than themselves, than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Very good, solid principle. Of course, it has to be because it's from the Spirit of God. We need to be cautious and careful. And we don't want to live a proxy type of love. You know what a proxy, basically a proxy is an agent or a substitute that is authorized to act on another's behalf or another person or some kind of document that is the agent to act in place of. And when we think about love and a proxy love, then we come in and we sit and we throw some money in the tray and we think that's covering it. I'm showing my love for you because I'm supporting the work. No. The love that we want to show isn't a proxy love, but a brotherly love that takes work. It takes time and effort. It takes you coming through the door and a warm handshake or a holy kiss, a good embrace, you know, the hug. And when we think of that, coldness, indifference, that really hurts more than anything. I was at a congregation at one point in time preaching, and there was a family that literally, when my wife or I stood at the door, they'd walk through with their backs like this, literally. They would not shake our hand. They would not, and no matter how hard we tried, I would stand at that door with my hand, and they would just turn like this and walk out. And that's not an exaggeration. That's not brotherly love. That hurts. That hurts. That's cold. Imagine Jesus doing that to you. Jesus walking up to that cross, realizing what he's got to go through, and he turns around and he says, "Forget them. Forget them." That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went to that cross knowing how horrible that pain would be and how terrible that suffering would be and how he would die, and that he did that because he loves us. And how can we be upset because a brother or sister says something that we didn't like? What did Jesus say? If you got a problem, you go to that person. Leave your gift at the altar. You take care of the problem and get back on that stage of love. You can't carry, don't let the sun go down. And so when a person reaches that condition, they're not even caring about a brother. Somebody said somewhere, and I don't know who said it, but somewhere somebody said that the greatest enemy of brotherly love is hatred, is not hatred, but indifference. The greatest enemy of brotherly love is not hatred, but it's indifference. Another thing here is bitterness, anger, malice, and hatred. When we think of these things and we think about 1 John 4 and 20 and how the Lord, we can't have this anger, this malice, this hatred for one another. We can't have it. Listen, John wrote, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, for whom he how can you say that and say that I love God and I hate my brother? He says he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen with his eyes, how can he love God whom he hasn't seen? But we love with a pure heart, with a sincerity. That's the commandment of God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, and let all bitterness, anger, wrath, and malice be put away. Put it all away. Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. That's the right attitude against the enemy of love. John wrote, "My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth." We must say what we mean and mean what we say. To say I'm a Christian, I'm a part of the blood-bought body of Christ, and then to not love the brethren, doesn't work. That's not deed and truth. That's just word and tongue. In John 13:55, Jesus said, "By this we all know that they'll know that you're my disciples." What? If you love one another. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul said that we don't use our liberty in Christ to do anything other than to love one another. To have opportunity in the flesh? No. but through love, sincere love for the brethren. We want to serve one another. In 1 John chapter 4 and 12, John wrote that no one has seen God at any time. And he says, but if we love one another, God abides in us. And His love has been perfected in us. These are the texts that we want to read. If you have love for one another, then we want to have that love and compassion. Don't use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. And make your increase and abound in as we love one another. And in 1 John 4 and 12, we want to make our... if we love one another, let God abide in us. He's the God of love. And then again, in Peter, he said, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. That's what I want to leave you with. That if we have a fervent love for one another, a fervent, a heated love, a love that word fervent in the Greek talks about something being stretched out to its fullest extent. Something that's bowed out and pulled very tight like the string on a bow. Or a rope holding a ship. Something that's taut. And our love needs to be stretched out so far. That godly love that it'll reach even the ungodly and certainly reach the brothers and sisters. Love one another. Fervent. That's what we need to do. You know, in Psalm 115, verse 11, he says, you who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Do we fear the Lord? Do we trust in the Lord? Let Him be your help and your shield, shielding you from all the troubles and anxieties of life by casting all your cares upon Him. I pray, God, this day that God has been glorified and that you've been edified. I also pray that you'll come tonight, Lord willing, and hear the conclusion of the lesson. I want to talk to you tonight more on an upbeat side and how brotherly love is commanded of God and how expressions of our brotherly love can't be concealed. They can't be hidden. I hope you'll come to hear that message tonight. You know, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Matthew in 15 and 19 said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts. And we need to look at these things and see where we stand in eternity. If you're a member of the body of Christ and you've erred, then you have opportunity this day. As the God is commanded to make that right with Him, to repent of your sin, be restored in a faithful relationship with Him, and the Lord will forgive you and restore you. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, we need to consider that there's an invitation that was given by the Lord. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus gave a parable about a man holding a wedding feast, and in that wedding feast, he said that He sent invitations out to everybody, and a lot of people just sent back, I'm too busy. I bought a cow, I'm too busy. I got a farm, I'm too busy. I have a wife, I'm too busy. Everybody has excuses why they're too busy to come to the Lord. And you know what? You need to put them excuses aside, no matter what they are. If it's personal, emotional, if it's physical, it doesn't matter. Because the Lord wants you today. He wants you to come to Him and His love. He wants you to be having that shield, that wall around you that will protect you for the rest of your life. He wants you to come to Him in faith, believing that He is the Son of the living God and making that confession before men. He wants you to repent of your sin and be baptized in the waters of baptism, immersed in that water, dead and buried with Him. You come in contact metaphorically with His blood that saves you and washes you. And you're part of His kingdom, His body, part of His law. I hope and pray this day you'll put all the excuses behind. Just do it. Just do it. That's the invitation for anyone who has any need whatsoever. I invite you to come forward as we stand and sing song number 317.